News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 1065, 806. On Mobile Mornings, a rainy morning on and off. Just be careful. We've had enough wrecks on the road, so take your time. And we'll have the chance of rain, at least. I think it's going to diminish a bit, but it will be with us through the weekend.
It sure will. And then next week, I mean, get ready. We've already seen some hot temperatures, no doubt about that. But next week, probably going to be the hottest regionally that we've seen so far this year. So maybe try to enjoy the rain a little bit.
Yeah.
It's easy to say from inside, though. By contract, we must give you a quick update on this. Ghislaine Maxwell talked with the AG, Todd Blanche, yesterday. Pam Bondi putting together a team to investigate Obama and crew for that.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that enough this week, and I'm sure plenty of others are as well. So we're going to move on to some other stuff that we've been wanting to talk about. And it's been a while since we've checked in on the Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yes.
I guess the last time, last week, or maybe it was the week prior, they made that announcement that Coca-Cola would start using cane sugar rather than the corn syrup in the drinks. And it seems like every time RFK says something, I see a picture of Jillian Michaels saying, "That's awesome. I like that, but I want to do more." So I don't know if she's like a secret whisperer to RFK, but Jillian Michaels, of course, a fitness and really gained fitness fame, right? And kind of known for that.
Also somebody, a Hollywood personality who made the transition to MAGA.
And more specifically, MAHA. How do they say it? MAHA. I don't know. America Healthy Again.
But she supported Trump.
That was actually a pretty big sector or constituency group that wasn't necessarily pro-Trump and might not have even voted for Trump because they liked Trump, but because he brought RFK on and that focus on the health of Americans, but especially young Americans. And you had so many, I guess you could say middle-class moms, but not even necessarily middle-class, but mothers who have been focused on this for some time now, you know, the different chemicals and things in our water and foods, and are worried about their children's health. A lot of those people came over and voted for Trump just because of these promises made by him and RFK.
And here's the thing, too, with Hollywood. And maybe geographically on the West Coast or Los Angeles more primarily, being from the city of Los Angeles. It's just uncool. I mean, until maybe a year and a half ago, even a whisper that you were thinking of voting for Donald Trump,
they'd shame you right out.
Completely unheard of. So she was among those that, one way or another, however she wanted to say it, but maybe it was through Kennedy, but she went ahead and now it's pretty much MAGA and MAHA, like you say. But you think about that, how strange that is, that you couldn't even say that if you were in Hollywood a year and a half ago, before the Biden stroke on stage or whatever it was that we all saw.
The Ambien, what Hunter Biden said, he was on the Ambien, right?
Yeah. And how about Hunter Biden's unleashing on fellow Democrats earlier this week? That was kind of, I mean, a lot of, if you're trying to use the F-bomb to get an effect, to let somebody know how worked up you are about something, you don't want to use it with that much frequency during an interview.
Mm-hmm.
He just dropped it, and he just talked about it like he was talking like he was in the Jersey mob.
Yeah,
But that was really interesting the way he went off.
Yeah, and I love how he wants people to take him seriously. Meanwhile, the interviewer it's called Channel 5 News, that guy, and he's been doing some stuff for a while. He'll go into some pretty crazy places and do news stories. But he got that interview with Hunter Biden, and he asked him about crack and the differences in crack and cocaine. And Biden got like this wistful look in his eyes. And he's like, "I really don't want to talk about it. Not because I don't want it." He said it would just make me kind of fiend for it, more or less.
Also, he didn't want to. He was talking about how you make it.
That's exactly it. He looked like,
But he also, one of the reasons he stopped, that I think what I saw was, he was like, "Look, I don't want to explain, you know, could be kids listening. I don't want to explain how.
No, his excuse for not wanting to get into it is because he didn't want to make himself want it, is what he said during the interview.
Wow.
But, yeah, what a wild interview that was. It's worth checking out. So back to RFK, and, you know, they've made so many initiatives have begun, you know, and you see these a lot of these processed food makers that are saying they're going to take some of these unhealthy dyes out of the foods, and they're making big moves for things that they were already doing in other countries, like in Europe, and they're just now going to carry that over into the United States. But this is pretty dark, and this is actually something I brought up off air to Dan a while back when I started seeing people claim, and it was like an internet claim. And I didn't think more of it until I kept seeing these claims kind of pile up. And it sounds so terrible to say, but this is some mainstream news now. I saw a lot of people online saying that if you're on the organ transplant list, which I've always been since I got my license, that there were hospitals and there were doctors, because there's such a need for organs, for organ transplants, that they were letting people go before they needed to go.
So they were letting them expire. So because in the mind of the doctors, their organs were more valuable at that point than their lives.
Than the potential that they would live through it or just live a little bit longer.
I've never thought of that. And that is strange, and it's really disturbing.
And it sounds ridiculous, right? It sounds like kind of a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
And I guess you could say it would be. And I saw so much of this, and I got to tell you, and I've been wearing this heavily around my neck for the last, well, since I got my driver's license renewed, and I wasn't even planning on it. But they go, whoever it was in the window says, you want to remain an organ donor. And I didn't even, until that point, I'd seen a lot of these, and I go, you know what? I'm going to try no for a change for a little bit. Maybe I'll hop back on. And I felt really, really bad about doing that afterwards. I was thinking about going back up there and changing it back. I'm like, you let the internet into your head. This is all ridiculous.
So was the last time you got your license?
Yeah, I got it renewed, and I got the Star ID.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that was recent.
It was very recent. It was just a couple months ago. Yeah.
Well, you went through something that emotional. You came back here just whistling like it was just another Thursday. Well, it didn't affect you too long.
Covered up the pain.
Oh, okay.
Covered up my shame, really. But then this week, new reports claim.
Is that a Washington State?
No, so that's a different story. And that's maybe a little too dark.
Okay.
The assisted suicide and everything. And now they don't have to tell people how many people are doing assisted suicide in Washington. They said it was a cost issue, believe it or not. When I do know that in many cases that is being used as for profit, you know, especially over in Sweden or wherever it is up in the Baltics, where they have been doing that for a while now, like more or less convincing people to come in and do that. Anyway, new report claims that premature organ transplants have endangered donors, and RFK has announced plans for a new initiative to reform the system. This is from Fox News, and they're reporting actually from the New York Times, so this is mainstream as it gets right now. Several families have stated that surgeons attempted to initiate organ retrievals while patients were still alive or improving. As noted in a July 20th report from the New York Times, amid a growing push for increased transplants, the report says, quote, a growing number of patients have endured premature or bungled attempts to retrieve their organs. And the report painted a picture of, quote, rushed decision making and organ demand taking priority over donor safety.
Yeah. So is there money involved in this? Why would
really
a surgeon
sure.
do that?
I'm not really sure.
So they're taking organs while the patient is still alive and expecting them to function normally?
Prematurely is what this report says. So the investigation came down from the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA. There were more than 70 canceled organ removals in Kentucky alone that should have been stopped sooner because the patient showed signs of revival. The problem appears to be linked to an increase in, quote, donation after circulatory death, which is when the patient has not been declared brain dead, but is critically ill or injured. In that case, life support is withdrawn and organs are harvested within a couple hours after the heart stops naturally. I told you this was extremely dark, but this is a big story. The Times report indicated that 55 medical workers in 19 states reported witnessing, quote, at least one disturbing case of donation after circulatory death, some even claiming that providers had administered drugs to hasten the death of donors. So HHS released a statement Monday announcing an initiative to reform the organ transplant system. And the thing is here, kind of like me, who did it on a whim and felt badly about it afterwards, if there's enough of a growing chorus of people saying this has been happening or worse, then you're going to have people that stop putting themselves on the list, well, which creates a whole nother host of issues.
You live in Kentucky. You're on high alert. Mm. And I wonder if that's so many in the state of Kentucky because possibly one medical center in particular, you know, or, you know what I mean? That seems like, why Kentucky? And you wonder if it's just because there happens to be a primary surgeon who is doing
more
of this than others, or a medical center that's doing more of it than others.
Or maybe the numbers from Kentucky aren't that different from a lot of the other states. Okay. I don't know. Maybe that's a pretty consistent number, which would also be really disturbing. They say the push follows HRSA's investigation, which reportedly revealed disturbing practices by a major organ procurement organization. I don't know which one that is. Secretary Kennedy said the investigation revealed that hospitals allow the organ procurement process to begin when patients showed signs of life. Quote from Kennedy, "This is horrifying. The organ procurement organizations that coordinate access to transplants will be held accountable. The entire system must be fixed to ensure that every potential donor's life is treated with the sanctity it deserves." Under the investigation, HRSA reviewed organ procurement organizations' conduct and treatment of vulnerable patients. The investigation revealed clear negligence after the previous Organ Procurement and Transplantation Board of Directors claimed to find no major concerns in their internal review. And I'll wrap it up with this. HRSA examined 351 cases where organ donation was authorized but not ultimately completed. Of these, 103 cases, or over 29%, showed concerning features, including 73 patients who had neurological signs that were incompatible with organ donation. The investigation also discovered that at least 28 patients may not have been deceased at the time of organ procurement.
Wow. Hmm. Horrifying, was that Kennedy's words?
Yeah.
I would say so. When did you first hear anything like this? Right before you got your license? Was that when this story?
So I think it'd been.
I haven't heard of this.
I'd seen people talking about it online for some time, and then maybe there was more of a kind of community gathering here the last few months that maybe I just stumbled upon and it had been a thing for a while that people were saying. Because I would have told you that sounds like it belongs in the heap of other conspiracy theories that really don't even deserve my time to think about. As just a human being, and as an American, you'd go, surely not,
right?
Like, there's no way. But then you start seeing some of these stories, and then now that RFK is saying it, you go, wow, this is apparently actually a thing. Texter here said, this is a fact. I would never be an organ donor. Happens all the time. Glad it's coming to light. And see, I've kind of just stumbled upon this, and then on a whim said, no, I want to be taken off the list. But many of you probably have been looking into this a whole lot more than I have.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Like, how long, if you are aware of this or have been aware of this, how long has that been? Because, you know, every now and then we'll break news here with dumb old Dan sitting here live on the radio saying, I didn't know that. But I did. It never occurred to me.
Me neither. Until a few months ago.
But if there's not a cash or money financial gain,
there must be, right?
There must be for the people who are procuring these. Still alive and taking an organ, or just saying, it's and being able to do with. I guess these people are sleeping at night. They're not seeing the problem with all this.
Well, and for every major medical malpractice that we've seen, there's usually incentives for those doctors or surgeons that cause it, whether it's the opioid epidemic
what
they were offered for that, or even when you talk COVID shots and declaring that people have COVID, even if they necessarily didn't, because they were getting a lot of funding through the feds, through the taxpayer, by declaring someone one way or another or getting them to take this medicine or that medicine. So I'm sure you're right. There has to be financial incentive here.
You would think something like that because it's so hideous, it's like, why would be? So who's the money behind it? Where's the incentive coming from? And by the way, speaking of Kennedy, real quick before we get to the break, He's being sued, and this is kind of ironic. Robert F. Kennedy is being sued by it's a group he started. The anti-vaccine organization founded by Kennedy is suing him because of his he's failed to establish a task force on the safety of childhood vaccines. So that's something that he started back in the 80s, and now that organization is like, hey,
yeah,
you're not doing so good. So they're not seeing Robert F. Kennedy's vitamin shake drink glass half full like the rest of us are. They're seeing it half empty, and they're saying he needs to get around to doing what he did when he was with our organization. Interesting.
Put a little pressure on him.
Yeah, a little pressure from the group that he started. I'll find the neighborhood here real quick. But anyway, Children's Health Defense, that's the name of it, that Kennedy started that back in 1986.
Wow.
It's like National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 86 was the act. It's 822 with Dan and Dalton. Well, your dark story has generated an even darker text line. Thank you for that, Dalton.
I shouldn't be doing that on a Friday. I'm sure we lost about half the audience once we got into that, but that seems to me like it's big news.
Yeah, you're operating and taking your organs before you're even deceased. That is big news. I'm going to read this one real quick. This one text.
Please do.
Hey, they strip your skin and FedEx it off to the highest bidder.
You want me to finish reading?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes for a researcher, a university, or a skin graft, they harvest your body as quick as they can. The parts are sold and on their way. They need a fresh liver in at Johns Hopkins. It'll be there in Johns Hopkins, right? It'll be there in 2 hours to the highest bidder. That's from CA. And that's...
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And this texter said, you are never deceased when they take your organ. You have to be alive. And that makes sense, I guess. You're right. And you think of kind of the black market organs. And remember...
Wait. No. People die in car accidents. They passed.
But the circulatory still needs to be... working in a way, right? Again, this is where my complete lack of expertise is showing on this, but I do think of, you know, when they say they would get people into hotel rooms, they kidnap them.
Yeah.
Those put them in the bath with a bunch of ice.
Yeah.
And then do their thing.
Yeah.
And then some people wake up and then go on to kill all, that's usually just the movies I watch. But, and then this section said, check out the Kings of Tupelo documentary on Netflix. You know, I turned that on one time thinking it would have to do something with Elvis and I was completely taken aback and I shut it back off. Mr. Plot says, all right, I'm having a Monty Python flashback, but I'm not dead yet. Everything goes back to Monty Python, doesn't it, in some way?
And Georgia football.
So keep the text coming, 251-343-0106. We'll move on to a definitely lighter notes here the second half hour. I believe we're going to talk with Mark Ingram from Baldwin EMC, another great thing they're doing as we head on toward the school season, school year, I should say, and how you can help out. We'll let you know here with Mark Ingram on the other side of the break.
It is Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings. 8:30, we'll talk to you on the other side of the news.
Friday morning on Mobile Mornings. Right now we head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing just fine and picking up a little rain this morning. Pretty much everywhere in our area, and I'm seeing accidents piling up. It's a good time to remind people that if you do get into a fender bender or having some issues with your vehicle, the team in the body shop at McConnell Automotive does a really good job.
That's right. They take care of all your insurance needs, line you up a rental car, and if you get that phone call, Rachel calls you and says it's total, guess what? We got a great selection. McConnellAutomotive.com. Check us out online. I mean, we're getting new cars in every day, used cars in. We're buying them. I mean, we're buying two or three a day. We're going to bump up this inventory big time, and we got the selection. Those GM certifieds are looking good out front, and we got them. We're going to be here all weekend, so just give us a shout, 251-476-4141. Let us know what you're looking for, and if we don't have it here, we'll find it.
Yep, and that is a fact, and you guys are really good at finding it no matter where that vehicle that someone's looking for is, so it's worth a shot if someone's looking for something in particular. We appreciate it, Louie, as always, and hope you have a great day and weekend.
Hey, y'all too. Thank you.
Louis Arata, go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65. And you also have the website, which is certainly worth checking out, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Talk to Mark Ingram here shortly from Baldwin EMC. They've got their school supply drive going on, and you can help out. And he would like if you would do that. So he's got some details on the way. Did you see the story about the piles of cat food in the area of Murphy High School?
Mm-mm. That one got past me.
Mysterious piles of cat food are causing a ruckus in the Midtown neighborhood around Murphy High School. This comes from WALA. It's not the cat food making people worry. It's the powdery substance all over it. Mm. Neighbors believe the food is baited with rat poison.
Jeez.
Some think it was put there to kill off feral cats, other wildlife, and other wildlife in the area. Being in Midtown, there's a lot of cats and raccoons and possums around, but it's definitely not the way to handle that. Alex Fox, who lives in that area, said that. There were at least three different piles. One was on a concrete slab, another beside a pole, and one beneath a trash can. So they're dealing with this mysterious cat food baited.
That is,
it's like some sort of vigilante move, I guess.
Have they tested the substance? Maybe they need to test that, see what's going on.
So it doesn't look like there are no, it's a mystery and no answers to all of this right now. Any update on the text line, feel free, because the story right at this point remains a mystery. 251-343-0106. Yeah. Unless you live in that area and it's been resolved.
And I hope there's no dudes or ladies walking by that have a hankering for cat food and end up picking that up, because it doesn't sound like it'll be a good
Now they're going to fall into the story we had last half hour about donating your organs.
Let's change the subject. Mark Ingram with Baldwin EMC on the line with us, and they've done this so many times, and they're so good at it, but it's underway for this month. We're coming to an end here. The Baldwin EMC Supplies for Success School Supply Drive. Mark, thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, guys. It's always good to talk to you. I'm glad to know you're mystery detectives now.
Well, here's the mystery. How do we have these jobs? That's the main mystery. So
y'all doing an amazing job.
Mystery broadcasters.
Yeah. So 5 years now you've been doing this school for supply drive. And heard you talking with Sean a couple weeks about this on Midday Mobile a couple weeks back. But we wanted to let everyone know, as we kind of head towards the finish line here and the kids get ready to go back to school, still plenty of time to head out and help out with this drive.
It certainly is. You know, we'll be collecting through next Thursday, the 31st. And there's a lot of excitement in the year, of course, in the air for students going back to school. But, you know, a lot of times when students go back to school, a significant number of them don't have the necessary supplies for their learning environment. And that creates a lot of anxiety and stress for these students. So we're wanting to be a part of the community and help out and collect these school supplies so that the students have the necessary supplies to learn and be in a good learning environment. So the community has been very supportive of this drive through the years. We've partnered with the Wharf and their collection point for us as well. And then all the school supplies that we collect through next Thursday will be donated to the Palm Project, which is a countywide initiative by the Baldwin County Education Coalition. And they work directly with the school principals, the counselors at these different schools, both in Baldwin County, along with the cities of Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. So they know the students that need the supplies, so they get them to these students. So it's a great opportunity for us to partner with the Palm Project.
Yeah, and this seems like a good thing that people can truly help out with and feel good about themselves, you know, helping some kids that need these items as we head into the new year. But I know you're asking for new and unused supplies, right? And people can, I guess there's one way you could pick up some of the, you know, schools put those sheets out about what kind of items people need for what classes or what kind of items the students need for what classes. But generally, you know, pencils, calculators, journals, folders, things like that.
Exactly. those types of school supplies, paper, journals, backpacks, soft lunch boxes. Also hygiene products for like deodorant and toothpaste, hairbrush. Mm. Those things are needed as well. You can go to our website and get a full list, or to our Facebook page as well too.
And as far as drop-offs, every Baldwin EMC office, that's where they can drop it off, but you also said the wharf, yeah, right?
That's exactly right. The office in Somerdale, then we have our office on the Beach Express over there by the new Gulf Shores High School that's being built, and then we have our office up in Babinette, and then at the wharf store at the wharf.
Oh, okay. That's good. Well, that way people that are, they can learn about it on the spot, and they may be in from out of town or wherever, or shopping down at the wharf, and they'll be alerted that they can help. So that's a great idea to have it at a retail outlet like that, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's been a great drive, and we know the community will support it, and it's something that's desperately needed, for students in Baldwin County, and it will definitely help the POM project.
Now, let's talk a little bit about how your year is going at Baldwin EMC, and we've been fortunate enough, and I know I don't need to say it out loud. I'm always worried about jinxing things, but
yeah.
Weather-wise, now we've gotten some rain, and we've gotten some heavy rain, especially in Baldwin County a couple different times this summer, but really it's the heat right now that's causing some folks to be uncomfortable, huh?
Well, exactly right. You know, we've had these late afternoon thunderstorms, and the lightning has caused some damage and sometimes where we've had to restore power. But also the heat is definitely impacting not only our line workers in the field, but everybody that's running the air conditioner as well, too. So, you know, with that, each person can definitely help with that situation by controlling their energy use and turning up their thermostat a little bit more and running those fans in the house as well, too. Because, you know, we know with running that air conditioner more in the summer does cause higher utility bills. So, you know, we're here to assist our members if they're running into any issues with paying for their electric bill. We have a lot of different programs to help with that, but we are definitely in a heat wave this week, as well as I heard we're going to be going into that next week.
Yeah, next week's going to make this look like a birthday party.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, so next week's going to be really, really hot, according to Dr. Bill.
Yeah, and I know you guys, and we've talked to you in worse times, certainly after Hurricanes Sally and Zeta.
Yes.
You guys had a lot of work to do, and you also send off crews whenever other locations in the region are going through the same thing. And so it's always nice to know that you and your power crews have plans of action and that you follow through on them when the time is necessary, right?
We do. You know, we have a natural disaster plan that we practice every year. We had a drill earlier this year. And the key to it, though, is we prepare for it and have the necessary supplies and tools and resources we need. But also, you know, it's important for the public to prepare for it as well, too. It's too late when we have a hurricane in the Gulf. So preparation is the key. Go ahead and get your emergency supply drive. Go ahead and know your evacuation routes. Go ahead and secure your home and know how you're going to secure it. Know what you're going to do with your pets. Make sure you have the medication that you need. Don't wait until it's in the Gulf. Go ahead and prepare now and have a plan for your family. Mm-hmm. And that's what we really want to stress, because right when a storm hits, we're in assessment mode. So we're not restoring power immediately. We're assessing the damage to determine our restoration plan. So we like to say the first 72 is on you. That gives us time to know the damage that we have, prepare our plan, have the emergency crews and other cooperatives that are coming in to help, and then we can start the restoration process.
Good stuff, as always. Yes. Mark, we really appreciate you coming on, and we'll leave it with this one more time. The Baldwin EMC Supplies for Success Drive. So this will go through the 31st of July, which is next Thursday, You could drop off these new unused school supplies at all of the Baldwin EMC locations, Summerdale, Orange Beach, Bay Minette, and also now at the Wharf and the Wharf store there. And good stuff, Mark. We really appreciate you coming on again this morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You have a great day.
You got it. It's Mark Ingram with Baldwin EMC. Did you see that Ron Klain went behind closed doors, talk a little bit about, they were grilling him about how well Joe Biden was doing, you know, near the end of his term.
Yeah, and you know, they said he didn't plead the fifth like so many others have.
I know, that's interesting. And he voluntarily went behind closed doors and did talk to members of the committee.
But from what they're putting out there, it doesn't seem like he, you know, went behind closed doors and then trashed his former president. Remember, I had forgotten about this. He was like crying when he was let go, Ron Klain. I think one of the words he used was, I learned everything about being a father from Joe Biden. But people are kind of linking this to that Hunter Biden interview earlier in the week and saying Hunter Biden went so hard after everyone for how they treated his father that now the DNC and other Democrats getting a little payback. And they felt like this might have been part of that from Klain. To me, the most interesting part of this is how much Hillary Clinton played into his testimonial here.
Yeah, because you're right. He didn't really break new ground well. It's, you know, how forthcoming was he? Because a source familiar with his voluntary interview told Fox that they believe that Biden was, that he thought Biden was mentally sharp enough to serve as president and was not too old to run again.
Mm-hmm.
That's inaccurate. For if we can see it from 15,000 feet, this guy was around him every day, wasn't he?
But he said Hillary came to him with concerns about Biden's political viability by 2024. And this was a five-hour interview yesterday with the House Oversight Committee.
And Jake Sullivan approached him too.
Yeah, Jake Sullivan as well told Klain that Biden was less effective in 2024 compared to 2022. So they're saying more than they have to this point, but still not really kind of getting to the point that Biden was seriously unable to be president as he was president, but certainly not for another four-year term. And I imagine we're going to see a whole lot more coming out about those 4 years, especially when we get closer to 2028 and you see Democrats going after other Democrats trying to fight it out for that primary to run against either J.D. Vance or Ron DeSantis or
Rubio.
Marco Rubio or whoever may be next. So
Trump again.
It'll probably be a slow leak of how bad things actually were in the White House during those Biden years as we move forward. Do you think Hillary will run again? 2028 Hillary Clinton?
You know, I mean, she was broken in 2016.
Mm.
But now what we've learned is you can be broken and they'll still back you. if they think you were emotionally in tatters,
yeah,
or physically and mentally gone bye-bye, that doesn't really matter. If they think you can get the votes,
yeah,
they'll back you.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, you think 2028 is far away, but really it's kind of not, especially when the campaigning, I mean, in truth, Newsom has been campaigning for a while now.
Yeah.
AOC has been campaigning for a while now.
Rahm Emanuel,
that's another name you kind of put out there earlier.
I would put money on him being that guy, the most senior, which is a dangerous road now after what Biden did, but he would be the most senior of Democratic nominees or Democrats seeking the nomination.
My early prediction, so don't hold me to this, I'm thinking we're getting a little Vance AOC.
Really?
Presidential race for 2028.
All right. She's in the news, but is she, could she pull that off politically? Don't know. 850, Dan and Dalton, good morning. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 855 on Mobile Mornings. Try to get to the text line here in just a moment. Also, you've got the Jet 4 show lineup.
I sure do. And let me open that.
Got it on the way.
Hour number one, Alabama Daily News' is Todd Stacy joins Jeff just after 9:30. Wonder if they'll discuss this awful story involving DHR and a child who died in a hot car in Birmingham earlier this week. In hour number two, former Congressman Jerry Carl, always interested in his take on current events. And then in hour number three, as always, on Friday, State Senator Chris Elliott to join the Jeff Poor Show. Let's run through some of these texts. Moz says, good on Baldwin EMC, but it is infuriating that this is even necessary. With a $1 billion education trust fund, the schools should have plenty of money for necessary supplies. And then said, I stand corrected, almost $10 billion ETF. Jake, as Mark was saying there about with this heat wave, he said maybe keep the thermostat a little higher. And I knew that would raise some eyebrows. Well, it did over here. But on the text line as well. And Jake says, the hell with that. I work in the heat all day. I run my AC on 68 because when I get home, I'm going to be comfortable. That's the one thing we really,
you don't
really
compromise.
Disagree on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, tell me about that.
I don't know. Just, you know, I've probably got a good 100 and, well, I don't want a lot of 100 pounds over how much she weighs.
So you like it
cool. I'm probably at least a good 150 over what she weighs. So I like it cool, yeah. And she doesn't. And I'm like, well, you just throw more blankets on, or you know, the thermostat's right over there. Why don't you go push that button?
You do you, but it might be with a might be with a winter sweater because I'm Dalton, and I'm going to get cool.
Yeah,
when you're outside and you're working, especially because I know you're outside sometimes hours at a time doing work in the yard.
Oh yeah, but nothing like somebody who works outside.
Well, true, but you have certain days, and I did too back in my homeowner days. But it's like, when you get inside, you want immediate relief.
Well, my new thing is working out in the garage. So it's like a sauna workout. Mm-hmm. And I'm out there for a good hour and a half. And then when I come in, if it's not freezing, I'm not in a good mood. Wow. I like it cold. But, yeah, that's the one thing we really, really disagree
on. You see your dog shivering in the corner? Or how do they react to
you? I do, but I think that might be neurological at this point. Doesn't Have Meta says... And he's a lot of Hulk Hogan posts this morning. It was really cool seeing, you know, kind of like the Ozzy death earlier this week, so many people have their stories,
yep.
Right? And that was really cool to see. He said, let me hit the lottery, road trip with Stone Cold, Undertaker, Nature Boy, and The Big Show. We will make stops for each person in this video to properly pay their respects or face the consequences of their actions. Good stuff there, doesn't that matter? I guess he's talking about everyone that went after Hulk yesterday after the news that he had passed. And Pat says, whoever dropped that cat food needs to hit my neighborhood up. So Pat, asking for some vigilante justice in his neighborhood with the feral cats.
He wants that treatment in his neighborhood, too. 8:59, Dan and Dalton back with you Monday morning.